Oh, hey there. Today's episode of Chicken Dinner is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming and the champions of the world. You got to check out the Lawnmower 4.0. I have a limited time offer for you right now. It is 20% off and free worldwide shipping. Anywhere you live, free shipping using the promo code BAWK. B-A-W-K. BAWK, 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 BAWK. You need to join the 2 million men around the world that trust Manscaped. Because you know what? It takes care of business. It smoothens everything out. No more nicks, no more cuts, no more bleeding. How many times are you in a hurry, you got a date, and you go, oh man, I better take care of business. You nick something, and then all of a sudden, it's a nightmare. It doesn't happen with Manscaped. This thing is built for comfort, and it's built to make sure that you don't mess up below the waist because it is important to get everything intact. Promo code is BAWK, B-A-W-K. Trust me, it is worth your while. What are you waiting for?
You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner, Friday, August 6th, 2021. Follow on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP, and subscribe to the podcast so it slides right to your phone when the episode drops. We will talk to John Murray on today's show. Chicken Dinner will be joining the Super Contest again this year, so compete against us as we try and take down one of those big fancy checks from the Westgate Superbook in Las Vegas. The public can't stop betting on one team to win the NFC, and I think you might have an idea of which team it is. We'll get into that. And also, John has some sharp English Premier League action to report. Plenty to get to later on in the show with John Murray. That game sucked last night if you watched the NFL Hall of Fame game, or the Pro Football Hall of Fame game, as they call it. Steelers 16, Cowboys 3. Wrote about the under, 32.5 for Nesson and Fox. 3-0 at half, 9-3 after three quarters. And how about the suicide teaser? It was still alive in the final seconds. Those of you that have been listening for years of this show, we've got a loyal friend, Alex Simmons, who every year in the Canton game does the suicide teaser. It's a four-way, 10-team butterfly. He takes the side and the total, and he moves them both ways. I don't suggest it. It is total degeneracy. But I think about Alex every year as the Hall of Fame game gets closer and closer. So he had the Cowboys plus 12.5, the Steelers plus 7.5, over 22.5, under 42.5. Womp, womp. But it was still alive with 40 seconds to go. Ben DiNucci is driving the Cowboys' 8th string offense down the field, and I'm texting Alex like, hold on tight. Cowboys had the ball at the Pittsburgh 40 with, what, 7 seconds left to go? And you're thinking, all right, well, at least there's a shot. He's going to throw this fucker into the end zone, and maybe you get a catch. Because if the Cowboys get in the end zone and kick the extra point, it's 16-10, and everything hits. Cowboys plus 12.5 hits. Obviously, the Steelers hit as a dog. And it goes over that 22.5. Game lands 16-3. And Alex said after the game, well, felt good to sweat. Okay. Whatever you say, Chief. Everybody's getting the itch for football, though. And now is the time you hear about real threats and big bets. Over the next 4 to 5 weeks, you'll see bloated numbers hit by professionals, and you'll see these lines start to move. I do think one of the bets, which we'll get to more in-depth in a second, San Francisco 49ers to win the NFC and to win the NFC West. You're starting to see that number get a little high. Circa in Vegas has 7-1 on the Niners to win the NFC. I think they'd like to write some bets because everybody's pounding the Bucks and the Packers to win the conference. But there are teams that are very good that have numbers that are just a little bit too high. And I would expect over the coming weeks to see a lot of those numbers go where they belong. You will also see a lot of late-breaking information in the preseason, and it's the moves that come, you know, oftentimes a couple days before the game where you go, wow, that's interesting. Because more than any other sport or any other real market, you think about the preseason as an information-driven deal. The Sharps got the info on Dallas not traveling 16 players a while ago. And that's why Pittsburgh went from -1 to -2, 2.5. That's why the total went from 34, got as low as 31.5. And then there was, of course, some buyback because people are going over what they perceive to be a low number. There's another move right now, and that's going against Minnesota. Minnesota was -1 against Denver, NFL preseason week one. Denver's now favored. Who's playing quarterback for the Vikings? Don't think it's Kirk Cousins. And there's COVID tracing, and there's Minnesota's a mess right now, which they can iron out over the next month. But I think you look at that Mike Zimmer record in the preseason, what is it, 20-5 straight up? A lot of that is baked into the perception of the line. This team is different, though, than the teams he's had in years past. And Denver, they're playing to figure stuff out. I think preseason is more information and situation than any other market. Denver's got a quarterback situation. They've got two guys that aren't going out there handing the ball off three times and then going to the bench to get some water. Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater are competing for this job. And Fangio and his staff, they need to see the goods. Now, you're not going to show the entire playbook. You're not going to bust out trick plays, but there's an urgency there to see what these cats have. And Denver, I believe, is going to keep moving. This morning I looked, I saw Broncos -1 at most shops. And I would imagine that number, it might go to 2, 2.5. You're seeing 1 at South Point, 1 at William Hill, 1 at Bet Online. Some halves. I hate when books do the halves. Denver -0.5. Why do we do that? I hate that. Then you lose on a tie. It sucks. There's also some money coming in on a team that I'm very near to, and that's the over in Washington and New England. This game isn't until next Thursday, but this total has already moved up from 32.5 to 35.5. Do you think that's your buddy at the corner of the bar betting that over? No. He's going to wait till Thursday morning to bet that shit. He's not going to bet that on Thursday, August 5th or Friday, August 6th. The game's on the 12th. It's the moves that come days before these preseason games that often are the ones that open my eyes the most. And think about what these teams have to prove. A team like Tampa Bay, a team like Green Bay, they don't have anything to play for in the preseason. Kansas City, LA Rams, I don't know. I wouldn't be putting my money on teams like that because their goal is to stay healthy and get into the regular season and take care of business. But if there's an opening at quarterback, a competition there, it's something different. And books will often move these markets like the preseason and NBA Summer League because those are sharp markets. And when I say sharp markets, they're dictated by what the winning bettors throw their money on. These lines will move. Summer League games, these totals will move 8 points. The side will go from -4 to -7 off a couple bets from a winning player. You don't want to chase that move per se, but these books let their best players get the number to the true point. And there's no public dollars, so that's why it's so volatile. In the NFL on a Sunday, week 2, week 5, week 10, there's so much public action and so many parlays and all that, money line parlays. The degenerates, they're not really coming out in the preseason. So the sharps dictate what these numbers do. And the sharps on Thursday night, last night for that matter, they were on the under. They hit 34, they hit 33.5, they hit 33. And then you get the people that chase it after and they knock it down. But just pay attention to how these lines move days before these preseason games. The public usually isn't betting days before the preseason. They wake up and go, oh, let's see. Thursday, August 12th, Pittsburgh, Philly. I like Philly. Wise guy's going to hit that days before. And that's how it works. I was talking with our friend Matoy Pearson from WinBet. He was cracking up. We talked on the phone for about 20 minutes the other night, just catching up, getting ready for football. And he was laughing because right before he called me, I go, wow, your ears must have been burning. I just tweeted out Broncos pick in the preseason. And he said, man, you're a sick motherfucker. He said, the maniacs are coming home. Everybody's back. Well, it's football. People love football. How many of you watched that full game, Steelers and Cowboys? The game means nothing. The game was terrible. But you probably watched it, didn't you? Probably had money on it, didn't you? The maniacs are home. All right, I mentioned San Francisco. Tweeted this out at Chicken X Dinner. I like this team a lot. And they were depleted, devastated by injuries last year. Quarterback, running back, lineman, George Kittle, Bosa. You name it. These guys were either banged up, in and out of the lineup, or out for the season. And this is a team the year before that was good enough and coached well enough to make it to the Super Bowl and really have a chance to win the Super Bowl. And I'll tell you what, this quarterback competition, I've talked to a couple guys around the Niners camp, guys like Dieter Kurtenbach, who covers San Francisco sports. He says this Trey Lance is the goods. I think he said the word truth. He's the truth. I don't know that Lance is going to start week 5, week 10, or whatever. Some people think he's not going to start at all. Eventually, I think San Francisco makes the switch because Lance is just a better all-around player than Jimmy G. Jimmy G's okay. Jimmy G runs the system well. Jimmy G doesn't make a lot of mistakes, but Trey Lance can make throws and make plays out of the pocket that Jimmy G just can't. There's also something to be said about that competition. Lance could bring out the best in Garoppolo. That is the most talented roster in that division. It's really not that close. I get a little nervous because of Sean McVay. I like McVay a lot. But that running back room is a mess. And Matthew Stafford, he's not a winning quarterback, or at least he hasn't been. I know, he's been in Detroit. But this guy, even when Detroit was a contender, he would melt under pressure. He would falter when the lights got too bright. Seattle's roster is flawed. Arizona has Cliff Kingsbury. I don't like Cliff Kingsbury a lot. If I were to rate the coaches in that division, I'd put Shanahan and McVay on line one, then Carroll, then Kingsbury. Not even close. Not even a question. But you look at the way the Rams are priced, they have the same odds. I'm looking at Odds Boom right now. You can find the Rams as high as 2-1 at FanDuel. You can find the Niners as high as 2-1 at FoxBet. Consensus number really for both is about $1.85 or $1.90. So the books are saying, all right, go ahead. You pick between one of these two teams. Seahawks are close to 3-1. Cardinals are about 550, 6-1. I like San Francisco in a bounce back year with these guys that feel like they have something to prove. So San Francisco, I like them to win the division. And in the conference, all the love on the Bucs and Packers has made the other teams under them a little bit more enticing. Tampa, you know, some of the books in Vegas have Tampa plus $2, plus $225 to win the conference. They didn't win the division last year. They got hot in the playoffs, and they've got Tom Brady, and they just won the Super Bowl. So that all plays into the price. And, of course, Green Bay, you don't know about Rodgers. he might not come back. He might get traded. He might retire. Oh, Devontae Adams doesn't want to be there long term. They move the Packers out, and then those two guys are coming back for their last stand. So all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, man, got to bet the Packers. Maybe. So the Packers now 5-1, plus 525, plus 550. It pushes everybody else down the page. And that gives you, as I said, Circa has San Francisco 7-1, plus 650. That's a team that could win its division, get a one or a two seed, and all of a sudden you have 7-1 in your back pocket for them to win a couple games. They don't have to win the Super Bowl. They really don't even have to win the NFC. They could get into the game, and then you could hedge off of your ticket. If I have San Francisco plus 650, 7-1, and they go to the NFC Championship game, and say they're at home. What if they're at home against Tampa or home against Green Bay? San Fran's minus 2.5, maybe 3. Nah, 2.5 sounds right. And then you could take the Bucs on the money line or the Packers on the money line. You could hedge it. I think those are really good bets on a team that's well-coached, well-prepared, and I believe the injury bug will regress the right way. They were crippled last year. Can't win in the NFL when you're hurt. And that team was destroyed last year. Destroyed. So I like San Francisco, and a lot of guys I talk to, they feel the same way. And shop around, too. Always shop around. Let me give you some examples. At Bet365, if you play there, they've got San Francisco at plus 450. Plus 450. WynnBET, 550. FoxBet and PointsBet, 6-1. Westgate, also 6-1. 650 at DraftKings, FanDuel, SugarHouse, 7-1 at Circa. So if you bet 100 at Bet365, you win 450. You bet that same 100 at Circa, you win 700. And as you know, the math extrapolates when you bet bigger. You bet 1,000, Bet365, 4,500. You bet 1,000 at Circa, 7 grand. Gotta shop around. We talked about some college football bets last week. You know, I like Buffalo under, Minnesota over, Illinois over, Boston College over, Charlotte under. I looked at a couple more things, and you know I'm a Big Ten guy, most of you. That's where I grew up. I've always thought that that conference has been my bread and butter. And Brad Powers talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago. He thinks Ohio State has more talent than the next three teams combined in the Big Ten. We'll see about that. But Ohio State, at that point, they were minus 160 to win the Big Ten. You can't really find any 160 anymore. $2 at DraftKings, $2 at PointsBet, FanDuel, minus 220. So you've really missed that move. I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, yeah, there's value at minus 200. But even then, even at Ohio State minus 200 at DraftKings, let's say they go to the Big Ten championship game, which they will very, very likely do, they're going to be at least a 6 or a 7 point favorite. And that math, when you convert it from spread to money line, a 7 point favorite is minus 270. I know you got to tie your money up a little bit, but hey, last year against Northwestern, Ohio State opened minus 20 or 20 and a half in the Big Ten title game. A 7 point favorite, like I said, is minus 270, 275. A 14 point favorite is almost minus $7. A 20 point favorite, cannot compute. So, is there value, relatively speaking, on Ohio State when you could have had minus 160 or minus 170 a couple weeks ago? No. But if you lay 200, minus 200 now, like you could have laid the American basketball team after they had a couple tough friendlies and lost to France, they were down to minus 200 to win the gold. Now they're minus 1,100 against France in the gold medal game. So value is always relative. I love when guys go, there's no value on USA minus 200. Okay. Now they're minus 1,100. There's no value on Ohio State minus 200.
Well, they're a 10-point favorite in the Big Ten title game, and now that number is minus 400 or something. It's also a little hard to ignore some of these numbers on Michigan. I am not a Michigan guy by any means, but there are no expectations and no pressure on the Wolverines. Michigan to win the Big Ten at points bet is 18-1, 20-1 at DraftKings, 25-1 at FanDuel, 30-1 at WinBet. It's disrespect. I don't like Michigan to win the Big Ten, but if they have one of those years and it all works out and they figure out the quarterback situation and they go 6-1, 7-1 to start the season, you think you're going to find 30-1, 25-1? It's just weird because you've seen Michigan to win the Big Ten in the last 5-6 years. They've been around, 7-1, 10-1, 12-1, 30-1. Man, it's hard to ignore the number. I'm not saying I love it. It's just like, wow, if I had, $100 laying around and I walked in to win bet and said, hey, I'll take 100 on Michigan to win the Big Ten at 30-1 to win $3,000. I've made worse bets, and we'll see. It is Michigan. It's not like they don't get players. I just don't know that I trust Jim Harbaugh. But those numbers are staggering. I mean, it hasn't been that high on Michigan in a long, long time to win the conference. Do you know who the most profitable pitcher is right now in the Chicago White Sox? I bet you don't. I really bet you don't. Dylan Cease. Remember Dylan Cease? We talked about him on this show in April. And he was a guy that I was sort of riding some of his K props, strikeout props. Sox are 13-9 when Cease takes the ball. He's their most profitable pitcher. He's up 3.2 units. His ERA, 3.92. And get this. He is striking out 11.7 batters per nine innings. Control has been the guy's issue. It always has been. But I think he's got some of the best stuff on the team. So Cease is up 315, 3.15. Keuchel just over 3. Kopech 3. Lopez 1. Rodon barely above even, 0.30. Lynn just below 0. And Giolito is down 7.55 units. He's been the worst guy to bet on. Dylan Cease, last 10 games, I found this at StatFox. Here are his strikeout numbers. 14 against Kansas City. 10 against Cleveland. 8 against Cleveland. 12, 6, 9, 11, 5, 9, 13. Now, a lot of KC and Cleveland. Milwaukee in there a couple times. But his props are 6.5. The market really hasn't caught up. Maybe you'll see a 7, 7.5. His last four starts, 14, 10, 8, 12. There's a 6 in there before that, but then 9, 11. This guy's mowing people down. And Steve Stone tweeted this out. He's about as honest as they get when it comes to an analyst. Quote, for those of you who saw Dylan Cease pitch last night, you were treated to a masterpiece. Dylan has the best stuff in the rotation. He doesn't command it all the time, but that'll come. 3-plus pitches. He's maturing from a thrower to a pitcher. The 3K sixth was electric. Enjoy. That was after Cease struck out 14 Kansas City Royals. Pay attention to his props. If you see a 6.5 or a 7, I don't think it's a bad bet still to go over. I don't think the league's paying attention. I don't think the books are paying attention because Cease doesn't generate the hype that a lot of other pitchers do. Giolito and Keuchel and Rodon. Cease is still undervalued. And lastly, before we get to John Murray, I wanted to go back to something I brought up on the last show about Caesars spending $1 billion over the next 2+ years on customer acquisition. It's all about the list. That's what Dave Sherapin, friend of the show, always says. All about the list. If they get them in the casinos, it's over. Dave has always said this. Because think about what Caesars is going to do over the next couple of years. Every Caesars Rewards member is going to get a ping or a whoosh, a blast into their inbox. Hey, join the sports book. You know it's coming, and how big is that database? But it's really not about the sports book. It's about getting them in that online casino, which is the other side of it. Those online casinos, man, they are so dangerous. Digital casinos. Can't see the dice. Can't even see the cards. You got guys in there playing blackjack. You know, they'll gamble on football, and then all of a sudden it's like, eh, well, I'm down a little bit. Let's see what I got in internet roulette. I remember the locals back in Chicago. Oh, man, they would howl at their worst guys. You know, you got the meat limit. Say it's a $200 meet either way or a $250 meet either way. Those guys would be down $268 on a Sunday night and be like, fuck. Ah, I'll go to the casino. The guy would hit the online casino, try his hand at blackjack, and all of a sudden, 15 minutes later, he's down a nickel. He was down $268. The meet's $200, so he's going, oh, man, I gotta get to $199. Oh, yeah, I'll play blackjack. You can't even see the cards. You can't even see the dealer. You don't know what's going on. And then you're down a nickel, and you're like, oh, man, now I got about 100 a hand or 200 a hand. You go into the online casino, you're down 268. Now you're down 900. It's like Mickey Rosa in 21. He famously says, at that point, you're not even counting. You're gambling. Joining us again on Chicken Dinner, I always love to talk to John Murray, at Vegas Murray on Twitter. Executive Director, Mr. Executive Director at the Westgate Superbook in Vegas. You like when I add the Mr., right?
Yeah, and you know, I'm actually negotiating another title change. So I don't know. I don't even know what they're going to be calling me next time I see you, pal.
How does negotiating a title change work?
Well, you know, they're trying to lock me into this long-term contract. So I think that's going to have to come with some sort of an advanced title.
Speaking of long-term contracts, I thought about you the other day when Max Scherzer got dealt to the Dodgers. You are a celebrated Nationals fan. You enjoyed that run to a World Series. You and your brother Peter, all about the Nats. How weird is it going to be to watch him pitch for the Dodgers?
Peter and I probably enjoyed that run too much. If you'd seen us after the wild card game, you'd say these guys had too much fun. It's going to be weird. The weirder thing is going to be Trey Turner. Like, we kind of knew that they were going to trade Max Scherzer. That was something that we were expecting. And the trading of Trey Turner, I think, hits us a little harder. I think it was the right thing to do because he's going to be 29 next year, and his contract is up after next season. And if you see these contracts these teams hand out, it seems like they almost never work out for the team. I think the Angels would probably take back the Anthony Rendon contract if they could. I think the Phillies would probably take back the Bryce Harper contract if they could. So I understand why the Nationals did it, but seeing Scherzer in a different uniform and Turner in a different uniform this October, it's going to be painful.
Do you guys know something I don't? I'm looking at the Westgate National League pennant odds. Dodgers plus 140, Giants 5-1, Padres 6-1. Why are the Padres 6-1?
A couple of reasons, at least at the Superbook. We're buried to the San Francisco Giants. I mean, they're a team. People always bet the Giants in the future book, and every year we kind of laugh it off. And this season, we're just crushed to the Giants. And the other thing is, you got to wonder a little bit, are the Padres going to shut down Fernando Tatis Jr.? I mean, I think you have to at least look at it as being a possibility. Obviously, that shoulder injury is not going away. It was curious how quiet they were at the trade deadline, considering where they are in the standings. It's almost like they know something that they haven't announced yet.
That's really going to frustrate me because we have on this show, we have Tatis to win the MVP plus 850. I don't know how you guys possibly take another bet all season long in that market. Like, you had it up before the season. You had it up a couple different times during the regular season. How the fuck do you book NL MVP with DeGrom and Tatis?
It's really tough. I know that Randy Blum, our main baseball guy, he actually put that back up yesterday. It's closed now because there are some baseball games going on as we sit here on Wednesday morning. But he had put it back up yesterday, showed it to me, asked me what I thought, and I just go, I have no idea, dude. Like, yeah. Like, I don't. It's really a very tough pool to book. I know he thinks Max Muncy would be the guy after Tatis. We talked about Trey Turner. It's a very challenging pool. Those are always tough to book as you get further along in the season. And this year, maybe more so than ever. And then you also have that variable of you never know when a guy's going to miss a stretch of games because of COVID. So it's very tough, and you've really got to stay on top of it.
I'm really excited. You know, Team Nesson is taking down the Super Contest this year. You know that, right?
I don't know. I've heard that. I've heard that from you. I don't know. Is that considered official? It's going to be a tough field, but you've got a lot of chances to win this year. It's not just about that main season-long prize. We've got 9 in-season contests. You know, the league expanded its regular season to 18 weeks. So we decided, why don't we do 3 6-week contests and 6 3-week contests? 9 guaranteed in-season contests. A lot of chances to win. A lot of chances for you Nesson guys to get one of those novelty checks from the Westgate.
And if you're looking to join a contest, go check it out. It's the Westgate Super Contest. It's been going on for years and years. 5 games a week against the spread. And you guys have a new stipulation this year with the potential of forfeiture. Talk about that.
We added that in after the NFL came out, I want to say 2 or 3 weeks ago. And they said that if teams can't field the full roster because of COVID, they'll have to forfeit the game. I don't believe that's going to happen. I mean, if they made the Broncos play with no quarterback last year, the Broncos didn't forfeit that game against New Orleans. So I don't think you're going to see a team forfeit a game. But if there is a forfeiture and you're in the Super Contest, if you have the team that forfeited, you get a 0. And if you have the team that won due to the forfeiture, you get 1 point. That's in the Super Contest only, and the Super Contest Gold and the Super Contest Reboot. It doesn't apply to win total bets. It doesn't apply to game bets. It's only for contest purposes. And it's not to be confused with a canceled or postponed game. That's different. This is if one team forfeits the game. It only applies to forfeitures, and that's an important distinction.
If you want to step up to the table, compete against Chicken Dinner in the Westgate Super Contest this year, 5 picks a week, go down to Vegas, get yourself a proxy, and you can play. Entry fee $1,000 for a chance and a lot more money if you take down the grand prize. I want to turn the page to preseason betting, and I'm not going to ask you to handicap any teams or lines or anything. I'm thinking about Thursday's game, you know, the Hall of Fame game. It's the first football game in a long time. What's the action look like? How many people are firing on that?
People will bet this game. I mean, people are that sick and deranged, man. we took a sharp play, actually, under 33.5, moved it to 32.5. We've got the Steelers -1.5 right now. There's really very little handle on it, but the game, we're talking on Wednesday morning. This game is Thursday night. I expect there to be quite a bit of action on Thursday on this game. People are going to watch it. We'll have it on TV in the book. People are just obsessed with the NFL, and they will bet into it. And NFL preseason is one of the sharpest markets there is. There are a lot of sharp guys get involved in these preseason games. Maybe they get the information that this team or that team is going to play their starters 3 quarters, or this team is not going to play their starters at all. It's a very information-driven market, tough market to book in. August is usually our lowest hold month of the year because it's dominated by baseball, which has tight splits, and the NFL preseason, which is a super sharp market. There's not a lot of tourist dollar in August. Tough month to hold in for the sportsbooks.
So when you see a guy that you respect, and we're not going to name names because that's not important, but let's just say that there's a total hanging up preseason week 1, 38 or 38.5, and you see a respected player fire a limit bet on the under. How much do you guys talk about how far do we move it?
It depends a little bit on the player, but if it's some of these groups that bet on the preseason, they're so good, and they move the market so much. We know the market's going to move very aggressively. We want to get out ahead of it. Under 38.5, we might go as low as 37 off that bet. You know, there's very little public action in a lot of these preseason games. I think the Hall of Fame game will be different because it's a standalone game and people are jonesing for football. But the week-to-week preseason games, when there's a full slate of them, not a whole lot of public dollar, a lot of really sharp dollar, and you got to move pretty aggressively when you get those bets.
I brought it up on one of the shows last week here on Chicken Dinner about you guys are the only book in Nevada that has English Premier League point totals. I don't think you find this anywhere else in the country, let alone in Nevada. Who makes those numbers, and what can you report so far?
Yeah, I think we're the only book in the state that does it. I don't want to speak for the whole country because I know that some of those books that are run out of Europe that are dominating the national, like New Jersey, the places like that, they do a lot of stuff. I don't know if they have English Premier League point totals. We do, and it's another market that we mostly get sharp action on. It's usually myself and Jeff Sherman doing those numbers. This year, Rex Byers was very involved. And my guy, Dominic Picardle, who you know, he's kind of my guy, my understudy, so to speak. He was involved with it as well. We put those up about a week and a half ago. And so far, it's just nothing but wise guy action. But I could run through the plays if you'd like me to run through the plays. It's just going to be a tough thing to get down on in other jurisdictions.
Well, I'm just curious to know what the heaviest hitters hit you with the most, I guess. You don't have to give me every wager that came in from a sharp, but where was the most notable?
Well, we have one guy, he beats us on these things every year. I mean, he's super sharp on these English Premier League point totals, and we try to move very aggressively when he makes his bets with us. He bet Brighton and Hove over 42.5. We went to 44.5, he bet it again. And we've gone all the way up to 49.5. So a 7-point move there, very big move. He also bet, it pains me to report this, he bet under my beloved Liverpool. He bet him under 75.5. Now it's 72.5. And he also bet under Manchester United, under 74.5. We went to 71.5. So he made a few other bets as well. But we move very aggressively off this guy's plays. He wins every year. And it leads to fights at the Superbook every year. Because, you know, every year we put these up. And Ed Sammons, our vice president of risk management, he doesn't follow soccer. He doesn't say shit after the numbers go up. But then after this guy bets, all of a sudden Ed's a soccer expert. And he's like, oh, you and Sherman screwed up this one or that one. This should have been this. This should have been that. Once he sees the super wise guy's plays, suddenly he's Mr. Know-It-All. And it gets a little contentious back there, as you can imagine.
I love that Mr. NFL becomes Mr. EPL after the moves.
Yeah. After he sees the plays. Yeah. Yeah. After this guy who's beat us like 6 years in a row makes his bets, now all of a sudden Ed is Mr. English Premier League point totals, and he knows the market very well, and he's telling me and Jeff how we dropped the ball. We'll see. This guy has certainly been very successful in the past. I hope he's wrong about Liverpool, however. I hope he's wrong.
Our Red Sox are looking good, man. I mean, they've hit a little bit of a rough patch, but compared to where they were to where they are, that was a team that had a win total 78.5, 79.5. 75-1 to win the World Series, 35-1-ish to win the pennant, and you've got some division. Yeah. You hit early on Boston, right?
Yeah, I made a few bets on the Red Sox from my own pocket back in, it was pretty early. I think it was April when I did all those plays. I was just watching them play every day. I was like, man, this lineup breaks. I got the East at 15-1, and then I got, I want to say 30-1 for the pennant and 75-1 for the World Series. Don't hold me to those numbers, but I think that's what it was. The issue is, if you look at their schedule these next 2 months, it's a little tricky. It's a little trickier than I think their first half schedule. We saw them go into Tampa Bay this past weekend, get swept. They lost all four games there. They've got a series against Tampa Bay next week, and they've got, I think, two more series against the Rays later in the season. Couple series against the Yankees. They do close with a combination of the Orioles and the Nationals, which should play in their favor. And I think they've got another series with Baltimore earlier in September. But a lot of games left against Tampa Bay. That concerns me. They also have a 3-game set in Chicago against your White Sox, which is a very good team as well. So tough schedule for Boston.
Yeah, they've got their work cut out for them for sure. But, I mean, that was a team that no book in the world got right going into the season.
Yeah, and we didn't. We looked at their starting pitching, and we just said these guys are going to be lousy, and their lineup has overachieved, and the Yankees have underachieved. That's another thing too. I know the Yankees, they just made some big moves at the deadline. They brought in Rizzo, they brought in Joey Gallo, but the Yankees have been a very underachieving team. And that's been a factor as well in Boston having such a successful season, being in second place.
Do you remember where you were when Kelly Stewart, a.k.a. Kelly in Vegas, announced that she was a moderate?
Oh, I do. I was at Del Frisco's Steakhouse in Las Vegas. You were there. And she made that announcement. She's very loud at dinner. I'm sure you've noticed this. Like, I feel sorry for the other people around us because they all, like, if you're at another table in the restaurant with Kelly, you're kind of part of her conversation because you can't help but hear everything she's saying. And she declared that she's a moderate politically. And we've gotten, what, 6 months of laughs out of that statement? It's just so absurd. Very funny. Very funny. Your girl is a riot.
I know that, you know, Kelly and Murray did a lot of stuff and you guys had a lot of fun, but I felt for you sometimes on some of those shows.
So some of the kids at work, Dominic, Andrew is one of our rising stars around here. They want me to do a new podcast and they say, well, you just got to find another cute girl to do a show with. And I'm like, I don't know, guys, like Kelly drove me so crazy. I'm sort of looking forward to this football season and not having to deal with her every, I mean, I love Kelly to death, you know that,
yeah.
But not having to deal with her 2 days a week. She's Barstool's problem now, man. She's Portnoy, Big Cat, that Megan making money and all those characters at Barstool. She's their problem now. And I think she's going to do great things for Barstool. That was a good hire by the boys over there for sure.
I just want to end with a couple quick NFL things. You told me with some content we did for Nesson about the Buccaneers, and you guys are just writing and writing and writing bets on them. And it's not in the South. It's not in the Super Bowl. You got players that they just can't stop, won't stop betting the Bucs to win the conference.
Yeah, there is some money in those first two pools, the Super Bowl and the division, but you're absolutely right. It's mostly NFC bets. I mean, we had a guy come in the other day, made a big bet on them to win the NFC at 9-4, which we were very surprised by. We moved to 2-1 off of this guy's bet. I think there's a lot more competition in the NFC maybe than people realize. There's some other very good teams in the NFC. Tampa Bay didn't even win its division last season. They were a wild card team. They won at Washington in the wild card round. Washington had like an 11th string quarterback playing in that game. And then they were a dog in New Orleans. They were a dog in Green Bay. They played very well in those games. They won the conference, obviously, but it's not as if they had some easy path to the Super Bowl last year, and they're not going to have one this year either. I don't agree with their strategy of just bringing back the whole band. I don't think that works in the NFL. I think you've always got to be going younger, bringing in new players. We'll see. You don't want to doubt Tom Brady too much. That's cost me a lot of money over the years. But I don't know that I agree with their strategy of just bringing back that same team. And I think there's some very dangerous teams around them in the NFC.
Let's touch on one of those teams as we let you go. John Murray, executive director, Mr. Executive Director of the Westgate Superbook.
Right.
I talked to Dieter Kurtenbach, who covers San Francisco 49ers, and he says this Trey Lance kid is the fucking real deal. And he told me yesterday he might not start week one this year, but that's a mistake. The whole roster knows that this kid is the truth. I said, I want to buy some 49er futures right now. And he goes, hey, man, price is right. Seahawks are flawed. Rams are flimsy, especially at running back. Arizona not worth the trouble with Cliff Kingsbury. Do we like San Francisco, you and I?
I don't like Cliff Kingsbury. He kicks too many field goals. I think that assessment sounds spot on to me. Seattle, a bit of a mess. Remember Russell Wilson early in the offseason talking about getting out of there. I do like the Rams. I'm a big believer in Sean McVay, and they have got a real quarterback now. Don't forget, people might be underestimating how much of a difference that is. Jared Goff is not really an NFL starting quarterback. McVay just made it work. Now he's got Matthew Stafford. I wouldn't count out the Rams, but yes, I think that San Francisco is the team to watch in the NFC. So many injuries last season. Great coach in Kyle Shanahan. And I've heard really good things about Trey Lance. I think the teams maybe to look at in the futures markets are the 49ers. And then in the AFC, the Chargers. I've heard that Justin Herbert looks incredible in training camp. They finally got rid of Anthony Lynn, who was just a bonehead of a head coach, unfortunately. And now they've got a new coach in there and a loaded roster. I know that Derwin James is going to get hurt in the first quarter of the first game and be out for the season. But if the rest of those guys can stay healthy, that's a loaded roster. I'd look at the 49ers and the Chargers in the futures books.
Yeah, San Francisco plus 700 to win the conference if you shop around. And that's something that I might have to get down on as soon as possible. He is John Murray. Follow on Twitter at Vegas Murray, executive director at the Westgate Superbook. Pumped to join the contest again this year. Pumped to get one of them big fancy checks. But most importantly, I am excited for our next visit to get the best wings in Vegas at the office bar. I can't wait for that moment.
I'm excited, and my mom's going to be in town that week, that same weekend. You know, she's already giving me this whole, oh, I can't, I'm so disappointed I won't get to meet Kelly. And I was like, don't worry about it, Mom. You're going to get to meet Sam Panionovich, and we're going to have a great weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're definitely going to crush some wings. Naked City Pizza, office bar, for sure.
I appreciate the time, always.
All right, buddy. Talk later.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to John Murray. Glad to hear that he agrees on the San Francisco 49ers. Record check, 156, 151, and 5. We're down a little bit, 1.8 units. And we've got one more to add here. Actually, three more to add if you count the Niners bets. Niners to win the West and Niners to win the NFC. Broncos pick 'em against the Vikings, week one NFL preseason. Starting to get that itch. And you know we're going to scratch it when it comes to football. Coming up on Chicken Dinner next week, we will talk to Adam Chernoff. He is one of the sharpest bettors in the world, and he will join the show. Talk about some long shots, some exotics, and a general NFL handicap. Guy's good. Guy's very good. And we will break some bread with Adam Chernoff. Cash some tickets, make some money. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you Tuesday right here on Chicken Dinner.
My breath.